was sinking deep in sin, far from the peace for sure. Very deep is stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the water lifted me, now I'm safe, am I. I want to extend my deepest gratitude to Reverend Jackson, my dear friend. He's an author by God's providence.
Amen.
A great friend of mine, and I like to be in his company. He always supplies wisdom,
well,
and strength and guidance.
Amen.
And so blessed. Good morning, Tabernacle.
Good morning.
Well, I beg your pardon. Good morning, the Tabernacle.
Thank you.
Baptist Church.
Good morning.
It is a grand pleasure and a truly honor to be in your presence this morning. The wife and I, my peacock of love.
Come on now.
We bring you greeting from the hill, the mount, known as Mount Moriah's on the mount. We are Moriah's on the mount, and we bring you greeting from the mount. I would like for my lovely wife to stand again so Tabernacle could see her.
Amen.
This is she. Come December the 16th, Dr. Fraser, Diane H. and I would have been married, if the Lord's will, 50 years. We celebrated it in September simply because we were trying to get our family to come across the mountains before it got too bad. And so we did an early celebration just in case. The weather got to the point where they couldn't travel. So we thank God for that as well. I see some familiar faces, and I can't recognize all of you because of the face covering. But it is good. My good friend that is in the male course up here, Brother Hill. Yeah, he came to Mount Moriah and stole my executive secretary. I told him at the time that you can marry her, but you can't take her away. That's why Tabernacle, you see her now and then. She belongs to the Moriahans, but she's married to the Tabernacle. But that's all right. We get along just fine. Thank her presence for being here as well. I am also honored to have this invitation by the way of Dr. Fraser and Deacon Fraser, as well as Deacon Rush and Deacon Scott. Thank you, gentlemen, for thinking well of me to consider me. And to Miss Boozer, Reverend Boozer, it's thank you for sending me instructions. I thought I had limited my biography. I was trying to keep it to one page, in which I did, but it still perhaps it was too lengthy. Brother Jackson, you read that great. I mean, you read it better than I wrote it. Yes, indeed. It is always a pleasure to stand for Christ. I can't find or discover a better occupation than preaching his word.
Well,
again, my hat goes off to this male chorus, especially to this bass player and the love of my heart, the saxophone player. By trade, I am a E flat alto man, but I love the tenor. You give lessons? I haven't played my horn in 52 years. And I had to break my lips back in to play for my sweetheart at our renewal.
Well, come on.
I have to tell this because I went and bought another horn because I pawned mine because I was poor when I was in college.
Come on.
And so it had elapsed 52 years. And she said, I never heard you play of all the years that we have been together. And so I took it upon myself. She encouraged me to go buy a horn. So I bought the horn, had to break my lips back in again and so that I could play the song that I rehearsed and got there by the help of the Lord. And so thank you, sweetheart, for encouraging me, because it had not been, I wouldn't have.
Come on.
The word from the Lord. I got two passages of scripture I want to challenge you this morning and try to break the word of life the best I can to you. And that is coming from John chapter 12, verse 32, the King James Version. And 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we come in the best manner we know how. And if our coming is not pleasing with thee, Lord, forgive us. Cleanse our hearts in such a way, O God, that we can enter into your sanctuary of worship. There we'll behold the beauty of your salvation. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name that dwells among us. For you have set your glory above the heaven for all to see. And with that, oh Lord, we come with thanksgiving in our hearts.
Yes, we do.
You are doing that is beyond our comprehension. We don't even have the ability to understand all that you are doing. But we do know that what you are doing is always good for those who stand in need. Thank you for your son, Jesus. For you blessed him in such a way that he came and spoke to us the truth. And Lord, he did more than that. He laid his life down that truth would have a chance with us. And that we will have a chance to know thee. With that, Lord, bless these, your people here at the Tabernacle Baptist Church. As they go further, grant them the desires of their hearts. Send them that what they need and give them what they stand so desperate for.
Yes, sir.
Lord, you know what we all need, but you told us to come to your throne with grace and mercy in time of need that we may attain mercy. Oh Lord, again, bless this effort for your glory. We pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. The text speaks volumes this morning. And I want to take the opportunity to also my gratitude to, they told me, Miss Ruby, Sister Ruby. Thank you for your generosity. You led me and instructed me. I appreciate that. Amen. Soli Deo Gloria. The text that was given to you is pointed, both of them. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. And then he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9:15, thanks be to God and his indescribable gift. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to use as a subject, if I be lifted up, and then I want to tag it with a sub-theme, the indescribable gift at Calvary. The best Thanksgiving one could take part in or can reminisce. The best Thanksgiving is at Calvary, the cross of Jesus. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from and comes down from the Father.
Yes, sir.
Amen. The Father of lights.
Amen.
With whom there is no variation or shadow of turning.
Yes, sir.
Thanksgiving.
Yes, sir.
What can we say about it? It is said that Thanksgiving occurs on the fourth Thursday in November, on the basis on the Colonial Pilgrims 1621 harvest meal. The holiday continued to be a day of America for Americans together for a day of feasting, football, and family. I wonder, in review and a brief facts about the enslaved people from Africa on the banks of Jamestown in 1619, when the Pilgrims celebrated their harvest meal in 1622. 2 years earlier, 19 African harvest a ship that was decked there by the name of Dutch O'Man of War. 1621, I wonder what was the harvest meal for them, as it may have been at Plymouth, Rhode Island, 2 years later. Thanksgiving, the gift of eternal life, I like to think. It is my celebration of being fully thankful and sincere in heart, spirit, and soul, mind, for Jesus Christ. Oh, what a gift he is to us. Eternal life is a free gift of life that God gives to those who believe in his son Jesus and experience fellowship with God through his beloved son Jesus. by the way of the Holy Spirit. Eternal life is God's final testimony to us via his Son. Thanksgiving is the knowledge of sufficient grace given and the fellowship of God the Father and his Son, the Lord Jesus the Christ. You cannot have any better Thanksgiving than the bountiful blessings from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ from day to day, from week to week, and from month to month, from month to years, until this very moment I speak. God's sovereign grace continued to orbit around us and through us for his good pleasure. Amen. And our well-being. Amen. Just think about it for a moment. If we were without God's Thanksgiving, what would it be like in this day and time without a caring God that watches over his flock? I ran into Isaiah other night, chapter 49, verse 16. He said, "See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands, a clause." And so whenever God opens up his hands to us, you will see your name there in the palm of his hands. Oh, what a God we serve. This is why I can believe when the songwriter says, "I stretch my hand to thee. No other help, no other help I know." And God stretches his hands out to us and he says, "I am thy help." Oh, what a help he is. Oh, what a gift is the eternal life in Christ Jesus. Forever. Destiny, Beulah Land. If I be lifted up, or if I am lifted up, is the inscribable love of God to us. It is the best gift ever given to humanity. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. God, again, I say, is our thanksgiving, our blessed hope. Amen. Of glory. Yes. Let's look at the text a little closer. It says, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth." What is it saying to us? Well, John, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote the words of Jesus after the death of Jesus. The Spirit called all things to John remembrance and gave him the inspiration, the tuition to write these words. More was said, but these words, it's just enough that you might believe. And by believing on his name, thou have eternal life. Turn with me quickly to John 3, chapter 3. And when we look at verses 14 and 15, we can get an understanding why 16 came into view. He says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." This is why John 3:16 is so powerful. "For God so loved the world." Now I challenge you today, if you can describe to me so love. This is why Paul writes
Thanks be to God. And when you look at thanks be to God, you have to say it's blessed be to God, which in turn saying grace be to God. Caris to God. Grace to God for his indescribable gift.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, indescribable. In other words, it cannot be uttered how good, how gracious, how magnificent is God's love to us. Can you imagine describing love in its heavenly definedness? Oh, we see the word love. But you know what's behind love? All of heaven. And all the characteristics, all the inwards and outwards was of God is in the word love. Gift that God gave mankind. I can understand it now a little bit better. Why it's so important to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, soul, and strength. Even with that, he gives us a glimpse of himself, and we look through a glass that is darkly. Oh, I would hate to be the poor sinner without Jesus today. Thanksgiving at Calvary was indescribable to the mind of men. Paul informed us that there is none righteous at his cross. There was none righteous at the cross, but the one on the cross. No, not one. There were none at the cross who understood what was taking place from the Old Testament's perspective. Isaiah 53. And he was wounded for our transgression. Can you imagine all of your sin being placed on one man? Our sins are numbered like the grain of sand on the shores. And only he, the second Adam, could atone for a poor wretch like me. I was lost, y'all. And tall weeds, like a ball in tall weeds. Couldn't find my way out if you paid me. But oh, one from heaven came down through 42 generations, found me before I found him. He found me so I would know him. Yes, none sought after Jesus, no, not one. None understood, no, not one, having all turned aside to their own way. They have altogether become unprofitable. They are all wrong. And they are still wrong. The none who does good. There's none who does good. No, not one. There's none who fear the Lord before their eyes. Let me tell you, the indescribable gift. Yes, the gift that came to give us life. Jesus spoke of his death on the cross here in this text. If I be lifted up, it was a prediction of his death. The reason we know that he spoke of his death, the interpretation is in verse 33, which said, he spoke these words, signifying the manner of death that he would die. Jesus never leave us puzzling about him. Although he don't give us details of every point. But he says enough here. This, he says, signifies, points to, describe at a limited by what death he would die.
Yes, sir.
And from the Roman account of history, crucifixion was one of the worst deaths that man could experience. Imagine on a wooden cross, scratched wide, and not only scratched, but nailed to the cross. Oh, can you see him lifting high and drop low? Between two thieves that deserve the due punishment. He spoke from the cross based on his Father's directions and gave us an opportunity to come. First thing he preached from the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. And even in this 21st century, approximately 2,000 years later, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Have you ever been in a situation that you don't know what you're doing? I know I have. I've been in more situations not knowing what to do than to do. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Yeah, in ek a day, gratos. This Greek word penetrates our mind. We think we know. We think we understand. We go to some of the best schools to get some of the best learning. But let me tell you, there's no way you can grasp the cross in our limited mind. Finite, yeah, infinite, unlimited cannot be placed into limited.
That's right.
We can understand the fullness of God. It's so vast that it will take us eternity to even begin to understand the first sentence. This is why he said, one day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like one day. Can you explain 1,000 years in one day? I doubt you can be able to explain, at least I can, 1 hour of God's impenetrable character. His disciple could not even stand awake for 1 hour when he prayed in the garden.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is so weak. We get tired of just praying just a few minutes. Not long talking about an hour-long prayer. Forget about the hour-long prayer. What about the indescribable? Yeah, 3 hours in the garden before the cross. Father, if it's thy will, let this cup pass me. But oh, nevertheless, can you understand the indescribable nevertheless? Not my will, but thy will. He leaves us enough to keep us interest in him. And when he get to the cross, he does what his Father have instructed him to do. I'm glad about it that when he said the sixth word, tetelestai, it is finished. He hung his head in a lock of his shoulder, looked towards heaven, and spoke the words of joy. The word of victory into thy hand, I commend my spirit. Oh, one of these days, He gonna speak to me. And he gonna talk to me and say, it is time to go home. Can I tell you a little bit more about the king? I borrowed this from another preacher that came forth. His name is S.M. Lockridge. He talks about my king. And I quote, the Bible says, my king is the king of the Jews.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He says, he is the king of Israel. He is the king of righteousness. He is the king of ages. He is the king of heaven. He is the king of glory. He is the king of kings. And the Lord of lords. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No mean a measure can define his limit, his limited love. He endures strongly. He entirely sincere. He's internal steadfast. He is immortal grateful. He is imperially powerful. He is impartially merciful. Do you know him this morning? He is the greatest phenomenon that ever crossed the horizon of this world. He is God's only begotten Son. He is the Savior. He is the sinner Savior. He is the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled, unprecedented. His lofty ideas in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He is the fundamental doctrine of all theology. He is the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder, do you know him? Yeah, he supplies strength to weakness. He's available for the tempted and tried. The other day he said, my grace is sufficient. He sympathizes and he saves, strengthens and sustains. He guards and guides. He heals the sick, cleanses the leper. He forgives the sinners. He discharges debtors. He believes and delivers the captives, defends the feeble, blesses the weak and the young, serve the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. Yes, beautiful and beautified to the mirrors. Yes, I wonder, do you know him? He is the key to knowledge. He is the offspring to wisdom, the doorway of deliverance. He is the highway of holiness, the gateway of glory. Do you know him by now? His life is unmatched. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. Yeah, his word is enough. His grace is more than sufficient. He reigns. His reign is righteous. Yoke is easy. His burden is light. Do you really know him? I wish I could describe him to you, because he is indescribable. He is incomprehensible. Yeah, he's indivisible. He is real. He is irresistible. Irresistible. God's only Son. His only begotten Son. You cannot get him out of your mind. Yeah, I can't get him out of my mind. He can't get me off. I can't get him off of my hands. I can't live, yeah, without him. Yeah, with him, all things are possible. The Pharisees couldn't stand him. They couldn't find out how to stop him. Pilate couldn't find fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. Glory to God, grave couldn't hold him. I wish I had someone who know him. Yeah, last night I stepped back and looked at him again, and I found out that he's the personification of all truths. Yeah, he is the Prince of Peace. Yeah, he is. I say he is the precious Lamb of God. John cried out, "Behold, behold, the Lamb of God cometh to take away the sins of the world." Oh, he is God's only begotten. Oh, he is the only one can save my soul. And I'm glad this morning that he touched me. That was a story about a father and his children, his two little girls. The two little girls one day were acting up badly. There was misbehaving. It was on Thanksgiving Day. Their father told them, "Girls, go to your room. Go to your room. You are dismissed from the Thanksgiving dinner." The girls went dejected, sad, to their rooms. A few moments later, they heard their mother calling, "Girls, girls, come down to dinner. Wash your hands and come to the dinner table." The little baffled, in light of what their father had told them, they sheepishly walked down the stairs to the dinner table and sat down, but they noticed something. Dad was not at the table. And so they naturally asked their mother, "Where is Dad?" "Dad went to his room," the mother responded. "But why, Mom?" And she said, "Because Dad loved you so much. He couldn't chance, and he could not take the chance of changing his standards. But he did not want you to be denied your dinner." And so Dad went to his room. Dad went to his room so he could pay the price, so that you could come and eat the meal. And so while you enjoy the meal, remember that your dad did pick up the tab and he is paying the penalty for you to sit at the table. Brothers and sisters, when you forget to think of everything else, when you forget to say thank you for everything else, don't forget to say to Jesus, "Thank you. Grace be to God for his indescribable gift. For if I be lifted up, I will draw." Not you. He said, "I will do it." P
people, all people,
every nationality, every tongue, every creed, unto me. May the Lord bless you real good, Tabernacle. It is my prayer.